Hello and welcome back to Dream Girl. I'm Sheen, your host, and today we're joined by a very special guest who came all the way from London. She is running on 2 hours sleep, but I'm super excited, so please join me in welcoming Dr. Vali. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, thank you. Yeah. I will let you introduce yourself because I tried and there's just too much going on for me.
Why?
To wrap it up.
You just said I had 2 hours sleep. I thought this was going to be relaxing.
Just tell us in one sentence, what do you do?
Okay, I'm Dr. Vali. I'm a little midget with big hands, basically. I'm a dermatologist and a biohacker, and now I'm also an inventor as well. I've got some patented technology. I have 2 decades of experience as a practicing doctor. I have built several brands, and I'm currently working on my baby by Dr. Vali, a new brand.
Wow. So you are from London, right?
Yeah.
And you're in Dubai just visiting right now. Okay. So tell me, Dr. Vali, what got you in this arena of health?
In terms of being a doctor?
Mm.
Oh, okay. So, well, obviously, I'm Indian.
So mom, it all.
Yeah, so I think we can start with the next question now. I come from an immigrant parent family. Mm-hmm. They left their family behind to sustain and grow something in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And education was a key cornerstone for them because they saw that as a ticket out. And it was either doctor, accountant, lawyer, the normal drill. And ironically, and I tell this story just because everyone's like, oh, but you're so creative. I think your innate personality will always come through despite what you do, like mm-hmm. even yours, right? So I think we've had the same trajectory. So quite similar. I was always told, so the night before my A-levels, I picked, was it classics, history, art, all the fun stuff, creative.
Right.
And then my great aunt in the family came and said, you're going to study medicine. You're going to do biology, chemistry, physics, and maths. And I was 17. I was like, you know, okay. And you're going to be a doctor. Okay. Okay, I'll be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how it started. And then you cannot fail. And I think that what happened is you don't know when you're 18 what you want to do. And you don't know what life is about Mm-mm. that much either. So as you evolve as a person, your creativity comes out in different ways. So my creativity while studying medicine care had to come out in different ways. It was more, I did the Diwali show, I compared, I hosted, I did a lot of speaking. So for me, there was some kind of creative element that was coming out, but it wasn't allowed to come out mm-hmm. earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's been a bit more latent.
Yeah, I think whatever your passion is, it finds you right along the way.
Yeah, eventually. Like you just wake up one morning and you say, I'm not doing it anymore. Yeah, I'm done. We're done.
You know, I want to say, I did not expect you to be a short girl.
Really?
Yeah.
Everyone says that. They say 2 things about me. They say, oh, you're really small, right? Number one. But I think everyone thinks that about
you have a big personality, right? So,
and the other thing they say to me is, you look much younger in real life.
You do.
Yeah, so they're like, oh wow, you look so much fresher. Mm. You look so much younger in real life. So I don't know what they're doing in my editorials.
Yeah, what are they doing?
They're airbrushing or photoshopping too much. That look like a blow up doll. But and they're like, oh wow, your face is so youthful in real life, and you're just like, really? And then that's the conversation I have with my comms team. I'm like, guys, what are you doing to my pictures that I don't look? I look plastic fantastic, apparently.
Plastic fantastic. I love that. Oh my god. Okay. Speaking of, so you do. So you have an invitation only clinic, right?
Yeah. So we have an invitation only brand or by appointment only brand. We do everything in terms of hair lab, face lab, skin lab, body lab, wellness lab. So we give you makeup-free skin or perfect skin.
Wow.
We contour your face to suit your ethnicity, your heritage, or gender. Mm-hmm. We don't distort. We thicken your hair. We contour your body to suit the silhouette that you want. And on the inside, we look at your mood, your sleep, your performance, your concentration, your energy, your libido,
mm-hmm.
your gut health, the fun libido,
yeah.
your gut health, your fertility. So we approach you in a 360 manner
right.
rather than big lips and big cheeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how is it being in that industry? Because, you know, now everybody have these conversations about how, you know, women keep feeling the pressure to change the way they look, to adapt. So how does it feel being in that industry where you're the one providing these services?
But I don't think I do. So
good.
I actually don't think I do provide those services. I'm the antithesis of it, if that makes sense. So what I provide is education and empowerment and autonomy. So I will educate you for an hour or an hour and a half in a consultation, and we don't treat on the same day. we like you to think about the treatment plan and then make an informed decision and see if you agree with us. So if you think, you know, you might have this idea of this Instagram picture in your head, and then I've re-educated you that if I distort you out here or give you a pointy chin or big lips,
yeah,
I can't bring that anatomy back. And actually, your best feature are your eyes, your weakest feature is X, Y, and let's work on your skin or let's work on your mood instead. Mm. And if I get your mood up and you're happier, maybe you're not going to criticize yourself as much. So I approach it very differently. I always have, because of my medical training and the ethics of medical training. So for me... And then what happens is you get that patient relationship, because when they come back and they're like, I still want it. You're like, okay, baby steps. Let's negotiate. Yeah. Let's meet halfway. But they trust you a little bit more because you haven't distorted them, or they understand it now, and they understand this is just fashionable on the face at the moment. It's a trend on the face, which is scary because you shouldn't have trends on your face or your body, right? And this is elegant in style and respecting your heritage or your genetics that are unique to you, mm-hmm. which is key.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to look like everyone.
No, and One thing I found very interesting, which you talk about a lot as well, is that you never post before and after pictures.
Never.
Right?
I will never ever post a before and after picture. I will never ever put a needle in someone's face on an Instagram grid or even like on a video. You can't find it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And because my techniques are really good, firstly. Yeah. secondly, I just don't want to show anyone, whatever age, 14, 16, 18, 28, whatever age it is, male or female, that you have to distort yourself in this manner or have this work done to feel like this, to look like this, because it's too much pressure and they're trends and they're going to go and it's going to move to somewhere else. Like right now, you can see that everyone's wanting to move to a more natural look. Right, everyone mm-hmm. wants to bring their unique features back now, which I love, because that's what we've been doing for ages.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's a lot easier. But I will never ever put a before and after picture up to tell a 14 or an 18-year-old that go get your lips done, go get your boobs done, go get BBL, a butt lift. Right? Yeah. Enough. We're under so much pressure as multi-hyphenates now. We're all overwhelmed. Why would I do that? That goes against my training. It makes no sense.
That's so good to hear because, you know, so since I moved here to Dubai, and we were talking about this off camera as well, here you just get...
I feel like saying to you, welcome to Dubai. I've been coming here for a decade, so welcome to Dubai.
you will definitely be saying this once I'm done, because what happens is that when you come here, you see that everyone has had some level of work done, especially women. And then you get all the ads constantly, and me being a content creator, I even get these free things sent to me being like, oh, you should come, we'll do your teeth, we'll do your cheeks, we'll do your lips. Then I start to question, what are people looking at my videos,
what's
thinking
wrong with me?
This needs some help. But then it's not like this in other places in the world. I think Dubai has just become this little hub.
I think there's a couple of places around the world that it is a little bit like that. You've got Miami, you've got LA, you've got Dubai, central cities. So I think that societal pressure comes from those inner city places at that elite level where you think that this is the look I have to be to receive this.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
If I don't look like this, I won't get this.
Mm.
Well, actually, that's not true.
Mm.
And this doesn't validate this. And I think that's the difference. So that's when we sit you down. And then that's why we approach you in a 360 manner, to understand what's happening on your brain pattern, your brain thoughts. Why are you thinking like this? Rather than, okay, let's just do it next patient, let's just do it next.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the long term for me, it's been really nice. It was hard at first because I said no a lot. And obviously revenue would be down initially when you say no. So it was hard at it. But I actually think standing by your ethics or your background or where your morals or what you've been trained in, it gives you like long standing for the rest of your career because you've now set what you will accept and you won't accept, and it's unprecedented and it doesn't move. So the fact that I've always done it from the beginning, yes, it was hard at the beginning running a business where everyone in the world was putting before and after pictures, stories, you know.
And noses, that's what people want to see, right? They're like, what does it look like? Yeah.
But then I attracted I call them family, BDV family. I attracted a client or BDV family that looked for me, searched for me hard, because they understood how I was trying to re-educate them.
Mm-hmm.
And they understood that I wanted to go on this journey with them rather than dictate to them what they need and what they don't need.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to understand on the inside why they feel that way. Because, you know, when I've got a 35-year-old in my room and she's like, oh, I want this and I want this, I'd be like, have you frozen your eggs? Right? But it matters,
yeah.
Right? So, because we're asking that question, libido, fertility, weight loss, weight gain, gut health, all these mm-hmm. questions we're doing on the wellness screen. So everyone's surprised. They're like, oh, I've never been asked this all of this in a 360 manner by any doctor, right? So it's my duty of care to do what's in your best interest, number one. Number two, I genuinely care about you because I've been through life events and so have you. I learn from you as my patient in the same way you learn from me. So it's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And because my patients seeked me out from around the world, then they refer other people.
Yes.
So it becomes this really nice fan club or
it's group. It's a tight-knit.
Yeah. It's a nice community. They support me. I support them. Mm-hmm. And I call them family because that's what families do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm actually really blessed. Yes, it was hard at the beginning.
Yeah.
But actually it's come to fruition now. And I've got a really nice group of family patients that I take advice from. You know, if I want relationship advice, I want career advice, I take advice from. These are people who are CEOs, these are people who had mother of four, these are people who are running businesses and running the home, right? These are the things I learn from them as well.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky, I'm blessed. Mashallah.
I really like that because, you know, just in terms of general business advice,
yeah.
this is one thing that I see a lot of founders struggle with.
Yeah.
And it's because when you're trying to be different and you are sticking to your values, it's really hard at the start
yeah.
because you feel like if I just did what everyone else is doing, I would be making more money.
Yes.
So.
But I'm not going to. So my current brand, I had the option of making a Botox and filler clinic.
Mm.
High volume, high traffic, Selfridges,
trendy.
Flagship, da, da, da. I said, no, I don't do that, firstly. Secondly, I don't believe the industry is moving that way. Thirdly, every consumer is now worried about wellness. And I've been doing wellness for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I will do it if it's a 360 manner. If we approach you from the outside and the inside, I'll provide a 360 wellness space that looks at everything. So, yeah, it's not being set in your ways, but you have to justify
yes.
so that people understand what's going on. And if you can justify it, then I think everyone kind of adheres.
Yeah, and then it's just a question until you meet the right people who appreciate whatever you're trying to
do. Yeah, and I think that's when the circle of life comes in, right?
Yeah.
And now suddenly you've been saying no for ages, or you're saying this is the way I practice,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly people appreciate you and validate you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, now the momentum is growing slowly. And you're like, I'm happy now.
Yeah. And it's great that you're creating that kind of space as well for everyone else who's coming after you. So thank you for fighting those battles for all of us.
I know. That's why I'm like a little midget with big hands, right? Fighting all day long. Like Mike Tyson.
Are you an older sibling?
Mm.
No?
I'm the middle unloved child. I'm joking. I'm the middle child.
Okay.
They always say the middle child gets the least attention.
Yeah. Do you think it's true?
No. I got a lot of attention.
Okay.
You know, I got told off a lot. we had to get A's. We didn't have a choice. We had to study.
Yeah, same.
You had the same, right?
Same.
Yeah, it was the same. The plug sockets of the TV would be cut off.
No way.
Yeah. Like, your plug sockets would be cut off. They'd be taken out. You have to get an A. It's that simple. It's not a negotiation. You have to get an A, otherwise you're going to be homeless. You have to get an A.
It is always that.
Right.
Yeah, it is always that. I mean, I ended up going to Oxford and Cambridge, you know, so you can imagine the kind of thing I went to in school.
And you know what my mom says? Yeah, my mom would love you, by the way, because my mom says, she has three children, and she says, none of my children went to Oxford or Cambridge. It's not good enough that they're doctors, SAP consultants, or anything like that. It's not good that they're prodigal in what they're doing.
Mm-mm.
But no one went to Oxford and Cambridge. So tell your mom, my mom would bow down right
now. Yeah. And you know my mom's reaction when I got into Oxford first? And she was like, okay.
That's it, right?
Yeah, that's it. There's no big it's alhamdulillah.
Okay, now do the hoovering.
Yeah.
Now your aunt's coming. Now do this. All moms.
It keeps you grounded, right? That's why we're hustling today.
I'll give you a story. So when I was building the flagship in Selfridges, I already had a place in Knightsbridge called LMS Wellness, right? So I didn't take my parents to see the flagship in Selfridges at all. And then I took them to the building site. And it's a 4,000 square foot space. So it's quite huge in a retail space. And then I took my mom and dad and they looked at it. They're like, oh, okay. What are you doing here, by the way? And I was like, oh, I'm going to build a clinic. Then.
Yeah.
They're like, no. Okay, cool. Should we just leave? And then when it happened and the building happened in a beautiful experiential center, it was there and it's a brand and no one has it like that. And I unveiled it to them. Oh, well done, well done. When are you having children?
It's always like parents. This with them. And also, you know how we grew up when parents are telling you don't speak to boys, focus on getting your age, right? And then now they're like, wait, where's the husband?
Well, this is it. So my focus on getting A's, focus on being a doctor, focus on being successful. Yeah. Education matters. We've given you a career to fall back on. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done everything that we can to establish your career. And then when you're 30, where's the man?
Yeah,
told me not to speak to any boys.
I don't know how to speak to boys now.
But you told me not to speak to any boys. And now you're telling me to speak to boys. And ironically, some of the guys, because you know we're in that Muslim community, and ironically, some of the guys who came with proposals went to the same medical school as me. I'm like, Mom, what are you
doing? Yeah, a while ago.
I'm like, Mom, what are you doing? Quite fun times.
I know. It is very funny and interesting. But speaking about boys and men in general, how do you see men approaching this whole world of wellness and just taking care of the way they look and stuff?
Yes, I think you mentioned that the pressure on women earlier on, and I disagree that it's a pressure on women. I think it's a pressure on men and women.
Okay.
And I think men feel it a lot more now.
Ooh.
So, and I say this openly, women are earning just as much as them. Women are earning more sometimes. The dynamics of where a man stands in society has changed. So it's like an unbalanced time for them, and that's why we should have compassion rather than do this, you don't provide this, you don't that, because life demands life, what we want in our lifestyle, the way we're behaving, we're having families later, we're getting married later, we're career women, why not, why can't we? But I think they are very confused in where they stand in these relationships and what they are providing.
What do they bring now, right? Yeah.
And I think instead of having that attitude, and I always say come to a patient or sit with compassion and sit in their shoes to try and understand where they're coming from, they don't have a safe space. We sit, I've just met you, and we've bonded immediately. Mm-hmm. I can talk to you about my periods, I can talk to you about anything, right? We'll bond immediately. Women bond, right? We will sit with our female friends, have dinner, coffees for hours and talk rubbish. Men don't have a safe space to go to. They go to the gym, they go home, they go to work, and in work they have to be alpha, they have to achieve, they have to perform, they have that competitive drive. Where do they get to be vulnerable and hide? Or where do they get to talk about their insecurities? Because we've never, so yes, I get that women are now more empowered and that's great, but it shouldn't be in the way of disempowering. So what I love about my male patients is they come and they're like, wow, the space is amazing. You know, we've got cartoon characters, we've got vintage cartoons, we've got Drake's, you know, hip-hop R&B playing, you've got like the adaptogenic bar, you've got a hyperbaric chamber. It's not a feminine space. So they feel they can be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And then men are a little bit easier to treat than women. They just say, this is what you need. Okay, just fix it. Yeah. Can you just fix it? I need my outcomes. In an hour's time, I've got something else planned. they're very outcome-driven. But I think men, as a consumer, my male consumer has increased from 10 years ago from practically less than 10% to 40%.
Oh, wow.
So this is why I say I disagree. I think men feel the pressure because women are becoming more and more attractive. You don't see... attraction is in the eye of the beholder, but you don't see an unattractive woman so often anymore.
No.
But you see unattractive men, right? Because, like, when do you see... How often do you see a good-looking man and go, cool, I really... So there is a massive dichotomy between the two at the moment. And I think men are feeling the pressure that they have to up their game. They are doing the hair transplants. They are looking, doing a bit of contouring work, looking fresher. Mm. Yeah, they are using skincare. Mm-hmm. When did a man use skincare?
Right.
They are using skincare. They want the 8-pack. Then they want to perform. They want output. They want to be the top in their game or their career. So then, you know, they want. When you talk to a woman about inside symptoms, she's like mood, weight.
Yes.
What else you see? And that's about it. But men would be like, okay, energy, performance, concentration, sleep.
Mm.
Not, they'll never say libido.
Never.
But that's about it. So you can see they're coming in. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and don't they say that, you know, when men hang out with each other, they will usually sit side by side watching something or doing something.
Yeah.
But women sit facing each other. Yeah. And that's how the bond is different. And you feel...
I feel like
you
can be vulnerable,
right? Exactly. Yeah. So it's very different. And yeah, I agree. I think things are getting a bit more challenging for men these days.
But I think it's easier for me consulting a man because the power dynamics change. Because as soon as you come into the consultation room, the power dynamics change.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit easier for them to be vulnerable 100%. In that setting.
Yeah.
And then it's just empowering, you know, ensuring that you have their trust, working together with them. And because they're output driven, they do get the results quite quickly inside in terms of performance, concentration, and outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've learned a lot about your professional life, but what about personally? Where do you see yourself going? What would make you happy? What's the end goal?
What would make me content?
Yeah.
Mm.
I like how you clarified happy versus content. Yeah. Okay.
I think if you're chasing happiness constantly, you need to be stable, right? So for me, it's not ups and downs, highs and lows of happiness and unhappiness. It's just content.
Yes.
With a little bit of happiness. Mm. Like, you know, you get that surge.
The spike, yeah.
That dopamine surge or serotonin surge. And then you get a little bit unhappy so that you relatively you appreciate the contentment times.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm quite content now.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm in my 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I've established myself. I'm still working hard. I'm in a startup, right? But I know how to get there now. I know the roadmap a little bit better because I've done it before. I'm surrounded by amazing people. Mashallah, I'm blessed.
Very important.
I've got like my BDB family, my own family, mentors and stuff like that. I have a great partner. So I think right now I'm quite content. But I've been through difficult times. And I've learned and evolved through them quite well. And I also think I've evolved as a CEO as well.
100%.
So I think right now I'm content. There isn't anything that I would look at.
That's good.
And I'm quite spiritual, so it makes it easier.
Yeah.
Because we have this theory, you know, it's in God's hands.
It is.
So if we're like, it's tawakkal.
Yeah. You need to believe that this is happening for you, right?
So the only time I have anxiety or worry is when I forget that. It's tawakkal, or that, you know, it's pre-planned or it's ordained. But, you know, I also say it's tawakkal, but you have to put the effort in.
Mm.
Otherwise you don't get
the output. Tie your camel, right?
Yeah. Tie your camel. So for me, it's more like, okay, when I'm having a bad day, I'm just like, do this in your hands. Help me out.
Yeah. I love that.
I just have conversations with God. It's fine.
So I started doing that. And someone asked me recently, because I'm also practicing Muslim, and it's a surprise to a lot of people. They were like, what is God to you? And I was like, you know what? God is my little bestie at the back of my head that I'm always talking to.
He's my cheerleader.
I'm like, please, come on, fix this.
Yeah.
And I think that really helps you through hard times.
Yeah, I remember when I was doing Hajj.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the MENA camp. And there were lots of sick people. And, you know, you have VVIP, VIP, normal, whatever, all the different tiers, right? And the doctors there weren't so capable.
Mm-hmm.
So I went as a medic, you go and help and you do what you can for the underprivileged camps that are there. And the facilities aren't great. And so I was there. So, you know, it's Hajj, it's intense as it is. And I was there for a few hours. And I came back to our camp. And my mum was like, look at you taking care of everyone, not me. You know, just like wanting to a little bit of attention, a hug. And I just snapped at the moment. I was like, I am tired. I'm exhausted. And then I had to go. I was like, I'm going for a walk. It was like 3 a.m. before Tejud or something.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm going for a walk. Took my went for a walk. Got lost in the MENA camp because it's huge in Hajj. Like, it's huge.
Yeah.
And then I said to God. And that's when I had a conversation with God. And I say it's a conversation with God. And I said, just send me someone, like anyone, to protect me. And I was like, can I listen to Drake's song just for 1 minute?
Not the permission for Drake.
I even asked for permission to listen to Drake. And then 10 weeks later, I bumped into my husband, right? So I do think it's conversations with God. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are things that are furs and that you have to do, but I also think if integrity is coming from your heart,
100%,
then I do think things will come out the way they should come out. Mm. Yeah.
And it is all about intentions at the end of the day. Yeah. Whatever you're doing, you have the best of intentions, then you will reap the reward.
But then I did say that if I do meet someone, I'll come back and do my milka or my nikah in Mecca.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, I did. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I did, with support of some of my patients who helped me to sort of organize it.
That's amazing.
And then my husband's just too busy taking selfies. You know, you're doing doa. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
What you doing?
Okay, if this doesn't work out, I brought you to Mecca.
Yes, that's on you now.
Okay, I brought you to Umrah. Blessings. Yeah, so I think that's why I believe it's tawakkul.
Mm.
Right.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. But, okay, any parting thoughts, anything, any advice you want to give to young women listening to us?
I think the grass is not always greener. Resilience is key. Ask for help. You won't be able to do it yourself, so ask for help. You will find some cheerleaders and champions that do support you, and you will find people that will criticize you or make you better or make you weaker. It's up to you what you want to onboard and disembowel. But fundamentally, I think you can't expect someone to do it for you. And I call it white noise. If you keep talking, that you're talking to people, you're never going to get to the goal. Mm-hmm. You've got to lock it out, block out the white noise and focus. And 2 or 3 out of the 100 people that you've spoken to will make it happen and help you. And just get used to the rejections. It's life.
Right, yeah. Rejections and failures are the best teachers anyway.
Yeah, so. Just get used to rejections in life. But I've learned something about emotional resilience, which I wasn't very good at when I was younger. And I think as you get older, you develop that emotional resilience. And if you pair it with some spirituality, it does ground you and it allows you to not make decisions with emotions. So I always say with my team, if they're upset or anything, I'm like, are you upset? I'm like, okay. Go out, grab a cup of coffee, cry for 30 minutes, come back, and then we'll discuss it. Mm. Because you'll have clarity of thought then, and you can come with a pragmatic approach without the emotions. I think emotional resilience is key at the moment, mm-hmm. especially now with the multi-hyphenates that we're trying to be. Yeah.
Agreed. Thank you so much for sharing that again.
Can I interview you now?
Go for it.
I feel like I should interview
you. Next time.
Who interviews you?
No one.
Why not?
Next time. Mm. Next time you're here, we'll do it.
I feel like someone should interview you. I feel like you've got a good story to tell as well.
Definitely, yeah.
I want to hear about it. How did you go from Oxford, Cambridge, PhD, and then you were in management consultancy, and then you came here, and then you did a tech. You went into tech, and then you're the CEO of a tech fund, mm-hmm. and then you're doing, and now you're creative. Like someone should interview you in your in your actual evolution as well, right?
Yeah, sure.
I should be asking you the same question.
Done.
Well, everyone learns from each other.
I know. I think that's what's beautiful, right? About
is it switched off now?
No. Oh, so we'll say bye now.
Yeah. Okay, we'll say bye.
All right. Well, thank you for being here, and we'll see you next
time. Thank you for having me. Yay. Let's do a hug. I'm a hugger. Yeah.